Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T, and I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you here.
Great to be here.
We're going to be discussing lesson 17 in A Course in Miracles workbook lesson. And thank you for joining us here for the best hour on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com. Search for the best hour or blogtalkradio.com/course mastery. You can also find us on our website, truthought.org, truthought.org, the home of our spiritual community, Truthought Spiritual Community. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to be discussing lesson 17, I See No Neutral Thoughts. And before we begin, let's join together for a moment. Did you want to say something?
I see no neutral things.
Oh, excuse me. You're right. I see no neutral things. Thank you for correcting me. So we will, let's join together for a brief moment of silence before we begin. Let's take a good deep breath. I see no neutral things. This idea is another step in the direction of identifying cause and effect as it really operates. You see no neutral things because you have no neutral thoughts. It is always the thought that comes first, despite the temptation to believe that it is really the other way around. This is not the way the world thinks, but you must learn that it is the way you think. If it were not so, perception would have no cause and would itself be the cause of reality. In view of its highly variable nature, this is hardly likely. In applying today's idea, say to yourself, with eyes open, I see no neutral things because I have no neutral thoughts.
Then look about you, resting your glance on each thing that catches your eye long enough to say, I do not see a neutral blank because my thoughts about blank are not neutral. For example, you might say, I do not see a neutral wall because my thoughts about walls are not neutral. I do not see a neutral body because my thoughts about bodies are not neutral.
As usual, it is essential to make no distinction between what you believe to be animate or inanimate, pleasant or unpleasant. Regardless of what you may believe, you do not see anything which is really alive and really joyous. That is because you are unaware as yet of any thoughts which are really true and therefore really happy.
3 or 4 specific practice periods are recommended, and no less than 3 are required for maximum benefit, even if you experience resistance. However, if you do, the length of the practice period may be reduced to less than the minute or so which is otherwise recommended.
I see no neutral things, and so it is. Let's join together for another brief moment of silence before we begin our discussion of this lesson today. Let's take another good deep breath. I see no neutral things because I have no neutral thoughts. And that goes back, of course, the companion lesson is lesson 16, I have no neutral thoughts. And I'd like to go back one more lesson, 15, my thoughts are images which I have made. My thoughts are images which I have made. I have no neutral thoughts, and today I see no neutral things. So we see a pattern. We're beginning to see how we are the causative agent. We are the energy of the Creator in action. We are descendants, extensions, ideas within the mind of God of creation, and we are the embodiment of creation, even here in human form, though we believe differently because the thought system of the ego mind is in reverse to truth. And so in each lesson as we go forward, and those that have preceded, Jesus is attempting to help us to see the causative nature of mind, that we are, in fact, the creators of the experiences that we are having. Now, this is a very different narrative than what's been taught by the world. That, and we could go down the list, right? But that the world is the cause and we are the effect. That we're born into the world as an effect of the world. And of course, other narratives that go along with that is that we are not perfect, that we are human, that we are bodies, that we're separate, that God is somewhere else in the heavens, if you will, that we are separate from each other. And the list goes on and on and on of the narrative, the presentation of the world of form. But Jesus, in this teaching, which rings throughout all of the textbook and the workbook and the manual for teachers here in A Course in Miracles, is that we are experiencing something other than reality. And this lesson clearly says, right, that we are not having neutral thoughts, and our perception is really causing us to have an error in how we see the world.
So thank you so much, Brother T, for teaching us this morning about this lesson. As you were sharing and as I was contemplating the message, the thought or the idea came in this world that seems so polarized by thoughts and opinions and indeed perceptions, our perception that we believe in our perceptions as being reality and even being cause. And we, you know, fight for them, these perceptions. We are convinced that they are, quote unquote, right. And we will, you know, lose relationships over differing, those who hold differing perceptions of what is going on in the world and how insane it actually is that we would do that because we believe that perception is cause. Is that what this lesson is saying? That we mistakenly then believe that our perceptions are cause?
Yes. You know, he goes as far as to say in the paragraph 8 in this lesson, regardless of what you may believe, you do not see anything which is really alive and really joyous. That's because you are unaware as yet of any thoughts which are really true and therefore really happy. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to make the distinction as early as possible when I'm working with new students in A Course in Miracles and then throughout all of our work together that the mind is split. Mm-hmm. And the best way that I can describe it is how Jesus is teaching us in A Course in Miracles, which brought this to my awareness. No other teacher had introduced me to that concept before. Well, I shouldn't say that. Buddha, because I did study Buddhism for a while, and Buddha, you know, exclaimed, you know, when somebody asked him if he was enlightened or whatever, however the story goes, that he simply replied, I am awake. I am the dreamer of the dream. And so Buddha referenced this experience as a dream. And then Jesus continues that teaching in A Course of Miracles, by helping us to begin to see that what we believe to be reality is really nothing more than a dreamlike experience. And of course, I refer to the sleeping self at night, which we can, because once we wake up from that, we can look back at that experience and not disagree with these lessons and these teachings if we applied it just to that sleeping self experience. I see no neutral things. The images, you know, we've learned that we're seeing, or that we think in images, right? And that the things he's saying here are not neutral. They're causative because they really are a representation of thought, and thought is causative, right? But when we're sleeping at night, we see things that begin to fit together to create a narrative of a story, a drama and what we could say is an event. And we get kind of get caught up in that. And then we paint that with our perception. Mm. So the perception that we have of the thing is nothing really. Mm-hmm. And when we wake up from the dream, we see that the events that happened didn't really happen. Mm-hmm. Right. But we can also see that the ideas, the thoughts that projected the images were the causative nature mm-hmm. of the experience. Mm-hmm. And our perception is not causative, mm-hmm. right? The event really didn't happen at all.
So our perception is how we kind of write over the true narrative or the narrative of God.
Yeah.
That, you know, in a previous lesson, it said that when we, you know, withdraw our narrative, we see underneath that the perfect, you know, vision of God that we've written over so that we can't see it. So our perceptions are not neutral because our thoughts are not neutral and the thoughts create the perception. So the fact that we see no neutral things is different than the thing itself being neutral.
Yes.
Okay. So it's our perception that is not neutral. I see no neutral things because it's painted over by the thoughts that create the perception.
Right. But keep in mind that...
And thoughts are things.
But are we saying that the perception is creative? When you're saying it's... I think we're trying to get to here is it creative or not creative?
And the answer is no, it is not creative.
So the perception... would be neutral or not neutral? Because I thought I heard you say that the perception is
not neutral.
Not neutral.
But the perception is okay. So you're saying the perception
is neutral.
Is neutral.
Because it's nothing.
Okay.
The perception itself is nothing. So let's go to a metaphor. We go to a theater play. And we're watching the theater play, and it's a narrative, it's a story. And we're watching them all play on the screen. And for a moment, we can get caught up in the characters.
Absolutely.
And we can believe, okay, well, this person is at war with this person, and that it appears that they've gotten murdered or killed mm-hmm. or whatever. And we can go through all of the emotions that something real has happened, that there is an event and it has meaning, right? But at the end of the play, they all stand up and they all bow.
The curtain.
There was really nothing there in reality. Mm-hmm. So I believe he's trying to help us to see, as he says in paragraph 8, what you may believe, you do not see anything which is really alive and really joyous. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what you may believe, it's not really alive. Perceptions are not creative. Because they're not real. Mm-hmm. It's what we've painted over these images, mm-hmm. which are out picturings of our thoughts. And those are the creative things. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that are not neutral. They are creative in their expression. Mm-hmm. But we're the ones that perceive it. You might perceive it in one way, and I might perceive it in a completely different way. We could be looking at something as simple as a glass or a cup, and we could both be looking at it at the same time. And you could be thinking, oh, this is so beautiful. I love this cup. And I could be thinking, man, we need to get rid of that. I think it's ugly.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So it's the perception that it's not creative. It's not it has no real meaning. I mean, it's neutral. Mm-hmm. It could be perceived in any way.
But it says, I see no neutral things. So it is not neutral.
Well, perception is what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Not the thing. The thing, he's saying, I see no neutral thing.
Okay.
Because the thing is a representation of a thought, and thought is created.
Okay.
Right? But I'm not really seeing the truth of what it is. Right? I see nothing. I do not see anything which is really alive. Mm-hmm. If I could see its aliveness... And so when we look at the cup, we just say, oh, that's a cup. It's inanimate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? He even goes on to say that it doesn't matter between what you believe to be inanimate or animate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we're not really seeing the life, the living expression of love that the cup actually represents, because we're seeing it with the body's eyes. We're not seeing it through the mind of spirit. This is getting pretty...
So this applies equally true to the cup as it does to the cat.
Yes.
In our home.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a cat.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So we just take the lesson, we apply it as instructed, and we trust that we are in a thought reversal program.
Yes.
And that it even will say that our understanding in a particular lesson is not required.
Yes.
And that we are to apply the lesson anyway and equally to everything. And right. That's because truth is true always. And so we're going from, we're having a reversal of thought system, as well as we're kind of, we are going towards the absolute, because in the upside down thought system, there are always exceptions to the rules.
Right.
If this, then that, but right. As we shift and practice, we're going into the absolute, and this right. applies to.
Yeah. And we have some very concrete beliefs about reality.
Uh-huh.
In other words, you can't just start flying right now. But when you're having a dream, you can.
Mm-hmm.
So which one of those is real? Right? So the mind wants to apply reason and logic based on its belief structure to this quote-unquote reality that we believe we're experiencing. So we can get in the weeds pretty easily with some of these lessons. So I think you're pointing out, you know, the instruction, don't get too caught up in it. Don't freak out. Don't get mm-hmm. too, you know, oh, it's got to fit in my mind and it's got to resonate with my construct of what's real and what's not real in my belief system. He's saying, even if you don't believe it, if you disagree with it, that's okay for now. Just do the work.
Yeah, because it's not going to fit, because
we're thinking with the upside down
thoughts. Yeah. All right.
Just like we're not really seeing what is really alive.
So I see no neutral things because I have no neutral thoughts.
Yes.
It is always the thought that comes first.
Yes. I do not see a neutral wall because my thoughts about walls are not neutral.
And I do not see a neutral brother T because my thoughts about brother T are not neutral.
Yeah.
But the body of brother T.
Right. We'll leave it at that.
We better get out of this one.
We could just keep going and going. We could. We've already gone for almost 20 minutes.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Time to close.
We'll close.
Because we'll see you tomorrow.
We will. We'll be back for lesson 18, and we're going to look for some clarity through these next couple of lessons to help us to kind of work through this if we're feeling resistance. I see no neutral things, and so it is. God bless you. Thank you so much, Reverend A, for hanging out with me in this lesson.
It was fun. Thank you.
And thank you, Mighty Companion. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
send my love over the mountains. I send